everyone. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Leah. Hello, Leah.
Hello.
And I dragged our very good friend, author Lainey Davis, back on with us because I needed someone to talk about Train Daddies with.
Hello.
So welcome to the podcast, Lainey.
Just literally along for the ride.
Well, you have big feels.
I do have big feels.
About Bridgerton.
I just have enthusiasm.
Which I love your enthusiasm. I'm here for it. I mean, I don't know. I'm not live yet on the YouTube. I don't know what's going on with me. hi, everyone. Welcome. Okay.
Wait, do we have to redo the opening? Or is
We're live now. It just my YouTube was delayed.
Oh, okay. Like, I was real confused for a second. I was like, because we have had to do that before.
Yeah, we have.
I can just show off my collection of things while we wait.
Okay, have you tried? Okay, so you have all the Dove candles for Bridgerton.
This isn't a candle. This is a body scrub.
Oh.
I smell terrific.
Why do you have it on your desk?
Because I brought them out for this. I made it. I have a whole like heap of items here.
Okay, did you try the Bridgerton creamers that came out at
no? With I don't like adding sweet things to my coffee.
That's fair.
Yeah.
They were terrible flavors. Like, I mean, the English toffee one was okay, but they had. I'm sorry, strawberry and cream does not belong in coffee.
Strawberry should not go in coffee.
Matcha, yes.
Strawberry matcha is delightful, but strawberry coffee, ew.
I'm not a fruit in
I
my
like
coffee.
Strawberries with my grass.
Like strawberries with grass. Do you know what's really good, and I don't even need to put milk in it, is matcha and pineapple juice.
Ooh. Oh.
I haven't had that
I would
one.
Like to try that.
I like lavender matcha, but Becky doesn't like lavender.
No, so. It tastes soapy, phosphate-y. Okay.
I do like a lavender coffee.
I've never had a lavender coffee.
Okay, maybe I'm not a botanicals person in my coffee.
Right, either. Because you don't like gin, though, either. And that's a very
I also do not like gin.
I do not like
gin. Oh, I love gin. I could drink it by the gallon.
To me, do you know what gin tastes like? You know the pine tree air fresheners
yes,
in your car?
Yes, exactly that.
That is
it
what
does
gin
not taste
tastes
like a pine tree air freshener. It's delicious.
Okay.
Disagree. Okay, so... we are back and we are so glad you guys are here with us. This is our first Wednesday of 2026. We are doing things a little differently on Wednesdays. We will still be reading books to two a month. And then the others, we will have live author interviews, or we'll be talking about pop culture, romance related things, or trendy TV shows.
Basically whatever we want.
Whatever we want that we can somehow make some kind of connection back to Romancelandia.
Yeah.
So that's the new Wednesdays. Today we're stepping out of the pages onto the screen to talk about historical romance TV and not the dusty kind. From Bridgerton to Outlander, Downton Abbey, and the Gilded Age, we're digging into what actually works for romance readers and what makes us stare at the screen whispering, "Why would you do that?" Bridgerton.
Are we whispering at it though?
No, although now Michael bought that giant ass TV in our living room, I'm probably going to, I can't throw things anymore because I likely would hit it.
Oh my.
We bought a big TV for the living room and I don't understand it because I'm not
a
huge TV person.
They had to rearrange their living room for the TV.
Oh gosh.
It's gigantic. Anyway, grab your tea, your wine, or your corset and you will dramatically loosen later.
I don't know who's wearing corsets, but it's none of us.
No.
Okay, so we all know, I saw someone on Threads today. They said they finally experienced the moment of the bra off after work. And
oh, I saw that. A trans person.
Yes.
She.
I was so excited for her. But
yeah.
Can you imagine the relief when you got to take the corset off?
Ooh. Oh my god, that would be amazing.
Oh my gosh.
Like and all the boning in those, like they probably like are poking like, you. And the fact that like you're so sucked in you can't breathe. Like my question is, how do those idiots breathe? Like how is breathing possible?
Listen though, they had a shelf for their tea. mean, you could
They
just keep the
did, but
tea
that's kind of
in place.
hot. So it's not
It is
really a
hot.
shelf that I would utilize.
It's hot.
I think it
But
depends on the
seriously,
time of year.
how did they? I mean, it's true because you might need warmed up because the fire is not enough.
Jenny says coffee is botanical, question mark. Jenny, it's the only botanical I want in my coffee is coffee.
But
How
it
about we
doesn't
stay like that?
taste like earthy unless you're like doing mushroom coffee, but
Oh, have you tried that? I tried one of those mushroom drinks. Not for me. Not for me, friend.
Michael drinks it.
The mushroom drinks or the mushroom coffee?
The mushroom coffee. He has mushroom coffee. He made my
Listen.
brother try it.
If we can bring it back around, this Bridgerton body scrub tastes like or smells like bergamot.
Tastes
Bergamot?
Nice.
It's like Earl Grey tea, but in a body scrub. So
That would be
I'm gonna
good,
have to find
though.
that because I don't know what bergamot actually smells like. It's
Oh, it's like the thing in Earl Grey tea that gives it that
okay.
just
It's
special
a
something.
very, yeah, it's hard to describe, but it's a very specific scent. Like you know it if you smell
Yeah. Patreon shout out real quick.
it.
Quick love note to our Patreon community. You're the reason this podcast keeps buzzing. Bonus content, reading guides, Discord chaos. All of it happens because of you. If you're not hanging out with us, we have a $5 tier that is basically a no-brainer. Come join the Bookish Hive. We have book club this coming weekend with author Juliana Stone. And then, oh, Galentine's Day is coming up. And I saw the vote, the survey I did. Everybody wants to paint a tote.
Oh, that'd be fun.
So we're going to paint totes.
Okay, so bergamot, I googled it
Did you
because
Google
why
it?
not? A complex aromatic citrus with bright tart notes, but with floral, almost rose-like undertones and a unique bitter edge.
I have a bitter edge.
I mean,
We
you
call
do
it my
have a bitter edge.
personality.
So then you're into love and meadows.
I am into love and meadows. Okay, what else did you have there? You had a magazine. What was your magazine that you had, Lainey?
It was
Oh,
Outlander.
this is my 2019 complete guide to Outlander, which I believe this is the one that came out before season four, which covered my favorite of the Outlander books, Drums of Autumn.
Okay. So let's talk about, we're going to talk about all these different shows, and I'm sure we will skip around, come back, go there, come back. So let's start with
Just hang on for the
Outlander.
ride,
It's going to be
friends.
wild. So let's talk about Outlander first. Did you read the books before they ever announced the TV show?
Yes, I have Outlander is such a special place in my heart because it was the first book I was able to read again after my mother died. I was like unable to read, and someone
Okay.
recommended Outlander, and I was able to just like reconnect with that part of my identity. So I love Outlander, but I was actually surprised to see it on the list because I don't know if I think of it as a romance because I don't know if those characters are happily ever after, and I just feel like I have to think about it.
Well, there's
I
so
mean,
much up and down and time travel and in and out, and she's with him and then she's with him, and
it has a lot
it's
of
all over the
romantic
place.
elements, though. And I
Yes.
don't, you know, if we pulled the books and we're like shelving the books, I wouldn't categorize the books as romance
No.
either. But I think with the romantic elements in it, it feeds into the idea of historical romance TV. Because if we, even if we look at something like, if we look at The Gilded Age, a lot of those are not ending in HEAs.
Well, fair. Yeah, especially this most recent season.
So many thoughts. And also, like Queen Charlotte, I mean, if we look at Queen, did either of you watch Queen Charlotte? You
I
did, of
watched
course.
part of it. I didn't end up finishing it
I
'cause
mean,
life.
the real love story there is Bromley.
Yeah. Yes.
It's
I
not
love his character so much.
the queen and the king because, I mean, he goes mad. He's the mad king.
But I
But he
do
does.
appreciate their relationship and the way it like transpires, like even in the later, I mean, in the series, but we'll talk about that later. But like, I love the fact that like she has such care and love for him and like how
Yes.
devastating it is anytime he shows up.
Yeah.
Yes. And he is still, even through his madness, in love with her. Like, you can see that that's his point of clarity, is their love is a beacon.
Jen Ellen asks, the author didn't con doesn't consider it genre romance, does she, for Outlander?
No.
No.
Oh no, she gets
No.
upset about that connotation.
She does. Well, so I had read the books of Outlander, you know, when they were coming out, because they came out in the 90s.
Yeah, they're fairly
They're
old.
older. So I had read them, you know, because Jude Devereaux had done a time travel, and Joanna Lindsay had a time travel historical romance. So then I picked up Outlander because, you know, that's just what you did.
1991, the
Yeah.
first book was published.
So I had read those then. I will be honest, I've only watched half of the first season of Outlander.
I watched the first season and part of the second.
The first season is the closest adaptation to the text, which is what I think makes it just so magnificent and bingeable as the because it has all the magic that's in the text.
Well, and I think that so, because one of the things that has brought us back to TV in general is if we are looking at what is being picked up and what is being produced in television right now, so much TV is coming out of IP, book IP. It's not new IP to television, like that they've written and created from a blank slate. They're buying novels of all variances and then turning them into streaming shows or shows for television. And Outlander, I think, in my opinion, is the one that kind of set this precedent. Because that season one was so strong and so well done. And if we look at that, and then you start looking at all the IPs that got picked up from there, because you had that Ransom Canyon, you had the Magnolia one that's
Yeah, but Steel Magnolias
not
was
Steel Magnolias, the one that's on Netflix, the one that she owns the bed and breakfast.
Virgin River?
Virgin River.
Oh, okay. I was
But
gonna
isn't there
say
another one that's Magnolias that's
it's Magnolias, it's Joanna Swisher. It's Three Friends.
Yeah, but I think
I
that's based off of IP. I think that's book
don't
IP.
think it is.
No?
I'm not sure though.
Okay, well you can Google
Sweet
that.
Magnolia.
Sweet Magnolia. But that is when those all started getting picked up, and Lainey's current obsession and so many in our community, Heated Rivalry got picked up at that same time. Like Outlander performed and you know, the star had his whiskey coming out. Like he like Outlander and being Scottish became his whole like persona.
Oh, yeah. I have all of his like side books about Clanlands, and I watched his show about New Zealand, and I had a bottle of Sassenach, and it was great.
There you go. But I think because of how well that first season did, that to me is what kicked off this trend of producers, production companies picking up the, you know, IPs to and film and TV rights.
Sweet Magnolias was a book. It's by an author named Cheryl Woods.
Yeah. See, I do research.
I was actually saying that my current obsession, Heated Rivalry, feels similar to Outlander in the yearning that they capture on, and that is due to the author's magnificent work in just having yearning on the page, like.
Well,
And
and it's very like Rachel Reed and Jacob, whatever his last name is, I can't think of it.
Tierney.
Yes. Like they had conversation after conversation after conversation. Like, and she had so much input into the screenwriting and all of that stuff, which I think was very, very smart on his part.
Okay, but we can give the same argument to Bridgerton, but it fails.
Yes, but also,
Julia
though, it
Quinn
like,
was very But she's been a part of that adaptation process.
Think part of the problem is like it's Shonda Rhimes and you're not getting the same feel from a Shonda Rhimes than you are from other
I think
people.
Shonda enhanced the text in adapting it the way she did.
You think
I'm
so?
fine if that's
No,
controversial.
I like, here's what okay, here's my deal with it. I love the show. I wish I had never read the books.
Yep,
If
1000%.
because here's my problem. So my majority of my background, like the first 15 years of reading romance from 1991 to 2005 is all 99% historical. Like I would read some category here and there that I could steal from my mother, but the majority of what I read was historical romances. And so I feel like the disservice we got with Bridgerton is it should have been sold to us as not an
Based
adaptation,
on,
but based on the world of
yeah,
Bridgerton.
and
Because
that's the problem with that is like it's so different. Which if you go into it knowing this is nothing like the books, you're fine. But if you go into it thinking I read this book, I love their story, you're not getting that at all. Hence the reason I rage watch it.
I watched season one and I was kind of like, huh. And then, they unmask Penelope at the end of season one. Spoiler alert. Sorry, friends. And I
Man.
was like, well, okay, that, I
Yeah.
don't love that. And
Well, because you don't
then,
find out until her book,
right, but
like who.
four. Right, yes.
Yeah.
And it was shocking. It
Well,
was
but even the
shocking
fact
in
that
book.
they put like book three or book four, where book three is supposed to be, and like it's out of order.
And Benedict and Sophie's story, the
I
book
love
that's
them so
coming,
much.
they have such a wonderful love story, and it takes place outside of the London realm, and it's the house party. And I mean, I love a house party romance. Some shenanigans happen. And I love that. And I think what happened with me in season two was, and this is when I fell off, is that Penelope and Eloise had always been such strong friends. And I feel like their friendship, the girl gang of Bridgerton, is what carries that series in text. And then when we got the season two, they're fighting and turning against each other, and they don't.
Show Eloise is so different than book Eloise as well. I
Yeah.
love show Eloise, but she's not book Eloise.
She is
No.
not. And so, oh, Stacy says it still bothers me that Simon and Daphne never say I love you in season one.
Oh, they
There's
burn for
lots
each
of things
other,
about that
but they, yeah.
yeah. There's
Mm-hmm.
lots of things about season one that bug me.
So, Bridgerton was a big letdown for me, but I think I had high expectations. You know what I mean? Because, like, Outlander was so phenomenal. Like, here we go.
But I think part of it is the way they marketed it too. There was no like it's
In the world
like
of Bridgerton, or.
yeah, like you went into it like thinking this is going to be very close or somewhat close to the book. And while season one was, it wasn't at the same time, but season two was not, and it made me very angry.
Yeah.
But yet, season two as a show had
Was fantastic.
so
If
much
you look
spark for
at
me
it from an
because it's a.
outside, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I wish I hadn't read those books to see that show. And also, and I'll be curious as your author point of view for this, Lainey, that show got picked up. It's being made into the series. It seems successful because they are ordering more and more seasons. All the while on the market side, historical romance is failing in publishing. Publishers aren't buying it anymore. They're telling their tried and true historical romance authors, you either need to write women's fic or you need to turn it into a romantasy.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard you discuss that in the past, and I definitely have been waiting for the Duchess's book from Sarah McLean that she pivoted to do Summer Storms. So I think it's Zoe York was saying she thinks that the historical romance market will pick back up if they try first person, and I'm very intrigued by that and what that would look like in a historical.
I think that that could make a big difference because
I agree.
so many readers, when you talk to them, newer to romance readers, and ask them, like, why won't you read historical? A lot of them will say they feel like they're being preached to and that they have a hard time truly connecting into the characters in the story. And it's not the historical setting,
It's the third
it's the
person
third
aspect to
person
it.
close.
Yeah, and I mean, I have just been inhaling Adriana Herrera's Los Leonas
Those are so
trilogy.
good.
They're so good. But I'm learning so much while I'm reading it. So I'm like intrigued by the story beats and learning things, which was also my experience watching The Gilded Age. Like I watched with Mr. Laney, and he would keep pausing, and we would like look up the history of Newport and how it was so integrated racially even in that time period. And I feel like that I feel more drawn into Gilded Age, even though there wasn't a companion text, than I did to the to season three of Bridgerton.
Same. Gilded Age has sucked me in, but I love that time frame. And I had read the Davenport series, or N.E. Davenport. Is it N.E. Davenport's her historical that she has? I don't know. I told you to read it, Lainey, too.
I probably ignored you.
I mean, shocking. That seems to be the. I have to find it now, which one I read.
think it is the Annie Davenport stuff because we've talked about it before on
It takes
here too.
place in it takes place in Chicago during the same time frame.
Have it favorited in my Libby app.
And it was so good. The covers are yellow. I'm blanking. I'll find it later and put it in the on the shelf show notes. But the Gilded Age has always been intriguing to me because of the industrialization. And I like everything from the idea of the Pinkertons to this
Absolutely.
amassing of wealth and these people that were new money. And I wonder if part of it is now you guys live in the Pittsburgh area. For me, living where I live, we had clear connections to Rockefellers because I live where one of the Standard Oil natural gas booms was. And part of the glass revolution that happened during that time frame. And then Cleveland, like we see it all over the place. Like you leave the clinic and you go like half a block and it's the Millionaire Row where people tell you, oh, that was the vice president of Standard Oil or that was Rockefeller's sister's home or his daughters or his cousins and
Yeah, I go and I tour Clayton, which was Henry Clay Frick's home, and it's really near my house. And I'm like the super annoying guest because I'm like trying to tie it into stuff that came up on Gilded Age. I'm like, show me where he was shot by the Pinkerton so I can like look at his sick bed and compare. Because
That's so funny.
if you shoot George Russell, I want to like think about what his recovery bed is looking like.
Because he is a trained daddy.
Oh, you know, I love that actor so much.
I mean, he is so good. And, we all know that they are loosely based on the Vanderbilts. And I knew, we all know the story of Consuelos Vanderbilt and her becoming one of the million-dollar princesses. I was just really mad about that, though.
Oh my God, I was totally on George's side about how his wife handled that whole thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't
I
be
mean, are
getting
we
in her
doing
bed either.
spoilers?
Yeah.
Yeah, like Leah, have you watched like so
The
the
Gilded
mom?
Age? No, I have not watched The Gilded Age yet.
Well, and this, if you've read any historical romance, like this will ring true. Like the family was pretty much forcing, what is the daughter, Alma? Alba?
No, her the
The
mother's
daughter.
name is Alba. I don't know.
The daughter is like being forced to marry this Duke.
Bertha?
Bertha's the mom for
Bertha's
sure.
the mom.
But then she winds up like actually in love with him, and Bertha and the daughter's relationship is healed toward the end, but Train Daddy is not having it. He's just like, you basically sent our
Gladys.
daughter
She's Gladys.
Gladys. Like, George was so upset that Gladys was sent to do something against her will, and that exhibit of
I am.
manliness.
I'm liking this cast. I'm looking at them now.
Oh,
Yeah, they're
it's
very,
so good.
it's very
good, I'm good.
eclectic.
Yeah, well, and I love all the downstairs folks too. Like, I would love a whole season that just follows the guy who designs the clock and gets like stinking rich and has to hire staff, but was a staff person, and so he's like wrestling with this identity. And he invites a chambermaid over for tea.
The book is called The Davenports, and I'll tell you who it's by. Hold on.
I will actually read it. I will make a. I'm leaving for a trip soon, so I
Crystal
will read.
Marquise is who writes it. Crystal with a K. It was exceptionally well done. It takes place in Chicago, but it has some of those same vibes of the Newport, like the hierarchy. Also, okay, this last season, and again, we're spoiling. If you haven't watched this and plan to watch it, you might want to pause and come back to us. This season, the hierarchy in Newport among the black wealth, and there were
I
some.
was
Phylicia
uncomfortable. Like
Rashad made me hate her. Like,
yes,
she was nasty.
the wealthy black people in Newport hate other wealthy black people who were formerly enslaved, and they are like real open about it. And I
And then
found
do it
that
all
deeply
under the disguise
uncomfortable.
of church and hierarchy.
And here's like Peggy's dad, came through all of that and became a pharmacist and has this beautiful life in New York.
Yeah.
And he's ex and then Peggy is like being dissuaded from marrying her beloved autistic doctor because his family doesn't think her family is good enough.
Yeah. And his mother is Phylicia Rashad, and she is
Yeah.
like so mean to Peggy. And since season one, episode one, Peggy has been my girl.
Star of the show. Absolute. I
She's my
would
girl.
follow Peggy anywhere. And
Yep.
I almost don't care about any of the other characters. Like, I really do not care about Marion. I kind of.
She's so freaking whiny.
Ugh.
She's so whiny. One of the big things that I really enjoyed this season. So I listened to a podcast called Stuff You Missed in History Class.
Ooh.
And they're usually about 25 to 45 minute range, and they give you the true history of topics that might have been glanced over during history or were maybe like a sentence in your history books, but you never really knew much about it. So one of my favorite ones they did about the occult and the phenomenon of the occult at the turn of the century, and why Houdini, like, because it started, they did an episode, it was like a two-part episode on Houdini, and then they went back and talked about the occult, that because it was out of the occult that Houdini started doing what he was doing.
Oh, interesting.
So fascinating. So I loved that they gave Ada, and she
Yeah,
got
a psychic.
scammed,
Oh,
because during
that
this
was
time,
heartbreaking.
well, during this time out west would have been the tent revivals where people
Yeah.
were being healed and stuff like that.
Snake charmers and all
Right.
that. Yeah.
And I
Yeah.
like that we're starting to dip our toes into the thought of, oh crap, the banning of alcohol. What's the word? Prohibition.
Oh,
Prohibition.
prohibition.
Yeah.
What in the hot hell does Ada really think everybody in her household is going to give up alcohol?
Right, when she asked that, I thought, ma'am,
And
ma'am, ma'am.
I get that she's like holds the purse strings now because her deceased husband was a secret millionaire, but
I did like that twist that
that was
the
really.
simple reverend becomes a secret millionaire, and now she gets to tell
Does
her
Oscar.
sister, sit down.
Does Oscar get a fortune back at the end, along
Well,
with his heartbreak,
he's
or
gonna get married to he and that the other scheming woman that's in that last episode. I think that the next season we'll see them getting married. But he did find the girl that scammed him because, so she was based off of, there was a woman during this time in real life that pawned herself off as the daughter of Andrew Carnegie.
Oh.
And she stole millions from people pretending to be Carnegie. And he was like, she's not my child. She's not my child. And it went on and on and on. And it's the stuff that she got away with, the paintings she would buy, and then she'd run off with them and didn't actually buy them because she wasn't getting an allowance.
Right, right.
So she was like one of the scam heiress. So the character that scams Oscar is based on that.
See, I didn't know any of that historical tie-in, but just in the last couple of months, Mr. Laney and I started watching House of Guinness on Netflix, and it's so tightly parallel to what's happening in like the most recent episodes of Gilded Age. And I don't know how big of a spoiler to do on here, but
spoil away.
But they even parallel the plot where, you know, the son of the wealthy people is like secretly gay, but they find a way to make it okay in House of Guinness. Like he finds a wife who is really chill with that, as long as she can bang whoever she wants. But it has a similar kind of upstairs downstairs
vibe to it.
Vibe.
Well,
they don't murder their gays in the House of Guinness yet.
Well, that's good to know, because you never know with those Catholics over there in Ireland.
But they did. I mean, they murdered the gay guy at the end of the last season of Gilded Age. They ran him over with a Well, that's murder.
Okay, the writers murdered him.
The writers murdered him.
Like the characters didn't murder him, the writers.
No. Yes. I need there to be a joyful, queer, happily ever after in one of these historical romance shows. And Queen Charlotte didn't quite get there with the Brumley storyline because we don't see the other footman in the
We get that in Downton Abbey? Because the one butler.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Thomas does.
Thomas does get a happily ever after.
He does. Doesn't he? Doesn't he get to.
Yeah. He runs off.
Well,
with
but I think Bridgerton is going that way with. What's her name?
I sure hope they do. What's the oldest one? A. Anthony. B. Benedict.
Hyacinth? Or. Francesca?
Francesca,
yes.
Because like her and that.
Oh, that's
Michael
right.
Michael got married, but no, it's not Michael. Her and Lord Killarney.
Yeah,
I can't think of names. But at the end, he meets like her cousin, his cousin, or his sister, Michaela, who is actually supposed to be Michael.
A lingering gaze. Yes.
There's a lingering gaze. So I think they're gonna go that direction with hers.
I mean, I'm a big fan of the lingering gaze. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what we like. The yearning.
I like a good yearn. I like a good pine, a good yearn.
So do we think so have you all seen the trailer for the Wuthering Heights movie that's coming out this year?
I just saw that trailer.
I haven't seen the trailer, but let me tell you, I hated that book.
Oh,
I mean, it's not my favorite.
It's not my thing. Those people were depressed.
Hated it.
Those people needed
with a fiery passion.
They needed some like Wellbutrin and some Zoloft or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They just needed something very happy.
They did.
And legal divorce would.
Yes.
There's a lot of rain. And so I watched.
It was very dreary.
And this is an older adaptation. It's a PBS one. And because I had on my list Sanditon.
Yes, I saw you had that. And I haven't seen it.
That's based on an unfinished work from Jane Austen. Oh. And the guy, Theo James. Do you know who I'm talking about? Theo James, like the guy
he's
that
pretty.
Dreams are made of, like Theo James. He's a very attractive man. He plays the lead love interest in that.
Ooh.
So, but it was a PBS series. But Poldark, which is now streaming on Netflix. Did you guys watch Poldark?
Sure did.
I
I
watched a
read.
couple of them, but
Oh.
I didn't love it.
I loved season one. So then I thought, I'm going to read this book. Boy, did I hate that book. You can
Really?
tell that book is written by a man.
Yeah.
I mean, Demelz is 13 in the book, which that was a, I just couldn't get past it. But the show is great. I love that Ross is like a hero to the working people. He's down in the mines picking
Yeah, I
coal.
couldn't get into that one. It might have been my headspace at the time, but
Aiden
I
Turner was
just, he,
very fine to look at, and he took his shirt off a lot, which,
yes.
you know.
But he's not a good husband. He's not good to Demelza. He's
Oh,
not, it's
he's.
not a romance, even ultimately.
No, he's a terrible husband, but he
That
was.
doesn't always bug me, though. I mean, Leah's reading
I
cheating books in the driveway, so, I mean, who are we talking about?
even find?
I am all over the place. I literally will read anything. And honestly, the more of a hot mess it is, the more I like it
Well,
sometimes.
then
Like,
you should like the later seasons of Poldark.
I probably would like it now, yes. Like, if I went back into it. But it's one of those things. Oh, yeah. I read some bonkers things, Lainey, bonkers.
And that's fine.
What is the one
I
that.
also read them bonkers, Lee. So,
PBS had the one show because I think the new season is coming out with
Oh, and Miss
the
Scarlet?
Duke and Miss
Scarlet in
Scarlet.
the Dark. I think it was Scarlet and the Duke.
Scarlet and the Duke. It's a bit of like Sherlock Holmes vibes, mystery,
Oh.
intrigue,
Well, and
suspense.
she is the, like, he's a cop and she's the, like, detective.
Oh.
There's some yearning glances there,
Yeah.
but she
Okay.
makes him so mad too. So mad.
So
I love
mad.
that dynamic.
I mean, it's I would rather have that than Grumpy Sunshine, to be honest. Just make him
Yeah.
angry.
Well, that's what I loved about season two of Bridgerton. Like when Anthony's like trying to teach her to shoot a gun and she's like, I do not require assistance.
Yeah.
And oh, it's hot.
It is hot. That was, I think my biggest thing was the lack of like true to text, but I have to
Yeah.
go into Bridgerton reminding
With the
myself
that's the thing, you
based
have
on
to
the
go
world.
into it knowing it is just based on the books. Like there is no
It's
like
not an apt
reference.
adaptation. It's
No, it's
just
no
loosely,
adaptation.
it's loosely connected.
I
Characters
kind
from the books of.
of feel, and maybe this is insane, but it the way the show is adapted feels a little more true to Lisa Kleypas's Ravenel's
Yeah.
vibes than it did to Julia Quinn's
I
Bridgerton.
would agree. And I think Lisa Kleypas, she tends to write a little bit more female forward, more feminist heroines in historical. And I think, like, if I had to pick, okay, I'm going to say this. I'm not considering Julie Garwood in this statement, okay? Because, sorry, nobody can touch the queen. She wins. That being said, I think that if we look at Julia Quinn, if we look at Lisa Kleypas, if we look at Sarah McLean, I think Lisa Kleypas writes the most feminist, female forward, female empowerment characters in historical romance.
But she writes
I,
them well, too. They don't come
yeah, oh
off
yeah.
as like
And the
obnoxious.
other one that I would put up with Lisa is Eloisa James.
Oh, I love
Oh,
hers. I
I'm loving
love
hers.
hers.
Yes, agree. Hard agree.
Did you
Wouldn't it
read
be?
her the Hardly a Gentleman, the one that came out, I mean it's of like 6 months old or something, but it was her newest one.
Yeah.
It was really good. Like the heroine was just delightful and I loved everything about her.
No, but I just was struck with a thought that I think Shonda should adapt Adriana's Los Leones
Yes, I would agree with that.
imagine how gorgeous that would be in Paris, like the whiskey and the World Fair and the abortion
Paris,
doctor.
even book one with the Puerto Rican islands and the
Oh,
Caribbean and
yeah.
all of that. I absolutely agree. Who,
Shonda, reach out. Man, I mean, if you think about like everything that was lush and gorgeous about Outlander, like
well, and the
all
thing
of
is
that is in Adriana's
with those
books.
books, they're a little more intense. Intense isn't
They,
really necessarily the right word, but
but
like they're
see,
a little more.
Adriana's books, I don't feel lecture us. The way that Adriana writes, we are immersed into this world. We're immersed into their feelings, into their emotions. And I never feel like she is trying to drive home an opinion or change her mind about something. She's showing through the eyes of her lived experience, these cultural inequalities, these movements and things that were happening that were unfair and people don't know about, because she, I mean, Adriana did a ton of research about, the Caribbean heiresses, and they were more welcome in the Paris. Paris was a more welcoming society than the British society. And I do like Adriana's books. My favorite is the last one.
Yes, well, that one was so intense. And I think for me it was because that one came out after or not too far after Roe was overturned, and that, like, the whole premise was that the heroine is an abortion doctor. So that one was, I had to go into that with like a gentle heart. But the first one about the whiskey, and the I that was a little easier for me.
No, I agree. It's good. I just really, you talk about yearning, talking about emotion, and just understanding who you are within this world. Like, see, to me, that book mirrors what I love in like Julie Garwood's, like her Highlander books. You know, no, they're not BIPOC characters, obviously, but that, an Englishwoman dropped into the middle of the Scottish Highlands, unaware, unknowing, but trying to make space in a world that doesn't want her.
Even Maya Banks Highlanders are in the same
Yep, and
realm.
you talk about sexy times. Have you read Maya Banks?
I have read some of hers, but not Highlander stuff.
Oh, did you read her
You would
KGI
love.
stuff? Her suspense.
We're not going to talk
We're
about
not going to
that.
talk about that because
No, Highlanders are
that's not
very
on the
good.
topic.
It's not.
Well, no,
Well,
all
also it
right.
makes me mad.
it makes Leah really mad because I made her read this series because she accused me of not loving romantic
No, I
suspense.
didn't. You. Okay, I did. I
You
accused.
said, you don't really like
I
romantic
accused.
suspense. And I'm like, yes, I do. Julie Garwood's
You're just
Buchanan
really
family,
fucking picky.
Maya Banks, those, I love those.
No, so she made me read this book. First off, she made me read it out of order
I
because she
did.
was like, you need to read this one. So I started like smack in the middle of this thing, but then I went back
But it
and
was so good, right? It was
it
so
was
good.
so
You had
good.
to
And I
catch
was
up.
like, damn it, Becky, why are you right? But anyway, so then I started at book one and I read the whole way through and I reread the book that we read and then I got to the end. And while I know and understand that Maya Banks has been very, very ill for a very long time, we don't know like even if she is still alive at this point.
Like, we don't know.
But Rusty's book has never
Rusty
happened.
and Sean. We need their book.
Yeah, I can't go into a series that's incomplete that
Well, had I known that it
way.
is going to
Yeah, now
leave me
you're
hanging like that,
invested.
but at the time,
I had a
like she was
pre-order for
still
it since
supposed, but it wasn't Rusty's
2016.
book. It
I
wasn't Rusty's
know.
book. It was somebody else. But there was always the idea that she was going to finish the series. But we don't, like I said, we don't even know if she's still alive, which it would be
Listen,
very devastating if she wasn't, but.
I have tons of anxiety about Diana Gabaldon's health. Like, I need this to be a complete setup behind me. I know she's hard at work on book 10, but I just need us to protect and preserve her and
It's
keep
kind
her up.
of, we sound as ridiculous as the George R. R. Martin fans that are angry about the last book.
I don't want to talk about him. I want to go to this question that you've
That
asked,
series
which
is never
is
getting finished, and it's ironic that the TV show like finished before the
years
series
ago,
finished. Mad about it. What was the
8 years
question I had
ago.
that you want to talk about?
Oh, could the Gilded Age be reverse engineered into romance novels, and which storylines? Like, what I want to see. 100% of the time, I want to read about Peggy and the Doctor, which tells me I probably need more Beverly Jenkins in my life. Does she have any with a black doctor hero?
I'm sure she
Yes, I think
does.
she does.
I'm writing this down.
It's Miss
Bev.
Bev. She's got everything.
Hold on. I'm pretty sure she does. Let's see here.
Oh, I bet she has one with a midwife. I want to read that too.
I think these books have kind of been reverse engineered because if you read Joanna Shoup, she has been writing in the Gilded Age. Oh no, Beverly Jenkins does not have a
A doctor.
character that is a doctor. Hold on.
Bev, come on, man.
But she does have midwife.
Vivid,
Yeah.
the book Vivid, the features heroine who is a female doctor.
Oh.
Look at her breaking rules.
No, she doesn't break rules. She does all this research. Like, these are
No,
real things
no,
that,
I
yeah.
know, but
Oh,
I
wait,
like
she
it's
does
just
have a
not
male
something
doctor
that.
character. Dr. Colton Lee in The Tempest. Dr. Adam Gray in Oh, that's part of her contemporary. That's a contemporary one. Or no, that's not her book. Never mind. So Dr. Colton
Okay.
Lee in The Tempest and in Vivid Lancaster is a female physician.
I could watch an entire show that just centers on Peggy, like even her striving to be an author and like navigating the newspaper industry, like you know,
Well,
with the black papers and
and to honest, the book, the story I want is like the idea of Peggy almost like a Nellie Bly,
Yes, totally.
but a woman of color. Like how
Yes.
impactful and powerful. And that's a second obsession of mine within this time period, outside of like the millionaires, was the yellow news, the yellow reporters that, that went from just writing what they were told to actually breaking through and giving true
Getting it,
stories.
yeah, getting themselves admitted to mental
Mental.
institutions at the and like
Going and working at
revealing these awful
slaughterhouses
truths.
to see all the stuff they
Yeah.
were doing and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see that in a book and its own show, all of the above.
Yeah.
And honestly, I would read more about Ada. Like, how did she become to be a spinster?
Yeah.
I would kind of dig maybe a shorter novella length book about her brief romance.
Of how she got there.
Yeah.
Is there any other characters that you would like to see a historical romance on that are from like the Gilded Age? One of the things that I really wish, I think historical romance could come back if we got more pirates and pirates of color.
Yes.
Because
Oh, God. Like,
I did have on my list the Buccaneers, which was those people were horny in that show. Like we thought Game of Thrones was horny. The Buccaneers were,
Game of Thrones was real horny.
it's
Or like
hornier.
Our Flag Means Death,
Oh my
make that a
God.
book. I'll read
I
it.
would read that book. There needs to
But
be more pirate books.
I also would
Yeah.
love a book that is like What We Do in the Shadows, but a romance.
Oh my God, I would read that so hard.
I mean, did you guys ever watch, it was a New Zealand show called Wellington Paranormal?
No, I've never
I
heard
don't
of
know that
it.
it's streaming anywhere, but it is in the vein of What We Do in the Shadows, but it's police in an area of Wellington, New Zealand, that there are monsters and paranormal things happening. And the police can't decide whether or not it's really crime or if it's monsters. And everybody's a little inept. But don't you?
Supposedly, it's on HBO Max.
Okay, it's so good. It's so worth it.
Now, are we counting? I was just trying to decide if Winona Earp counted as a historical romance show, but it's set in the
No, because
modern
it's more
day.
Western.
Okay. And it's also modern. I forgot that it was
Yeah, it's more
modern
modern.
because
Yeah.
it feels so old-timey.
Well, and what is that one that's the same guy that did Yellowstone, that's the parent,
Oh,
the
the 1852, 18,
1882, whatever it is.
yeah, with Harrison Ford
yeah.
and Helen Mirren. Yeah.
Mr. Laney's working on those.
I
I
haven't,
haven't.
we tried like episode one and I didn't like fall in love with it.
Right.
So.
It didn't grip me. Like, I would be very curious in Gilded Age to see how Bertha and George got together. Like, because came from like humble beginnings, the two of
Yeah.
them, right? And so they wouldn't have had an arranged marriage, I don't think. And so
No.
presumably it would have been a love match. At what point did that happen? Like,
Well,
how did
and
they
we
rise
know
in
that
ranks
she's
together?
hiding her family
Yeah.
because she like tries to change what her sister is wearing, and her sister doesn't have all the dresses that Bertha has. And yeah. Did we make you want to watch the show yet, Leah?
I mean, it sounds intriguing.
To be honest, the train daddy, Bertha's husband, what's his first name? George.
George Russell.
George Russell. I mean, Lainey already claimed him. She licked him. He's hers. He's snazzy. Like he comes on the screen and he owns it. And I think one
Yeah,
of the
and he's such
reasons.
a dick, and he's just like, what? I'm wealthy.
Yeah.
If you don't do what I want, I will
So
buy
he's my
you.
kind of character.
He really is.
Yeah.
But
Of
the
an
other
asshole.
thing that I love about him is, I think, and this is why I love the Gilded Age so much, so many of these actors and actresses are Broadway stars, so they really do know how to own the moment in the show, like
Yeah.
because they've, were learned their
They
acting.
have a presence.
They have a
Like there's a
presence,
presence.
yeah.
Like it's a different world on
Also, I'm a
stage.
little obsessed with the New York Opera House and them.
Yes, there's a like dueling. There's a modern opera house, and then the historical one, and one is for new money. And
Did either of you, and I know you're gonna tell me no, Liam, but I'm just gonna ask anyway. So Anderson Cooper, who is the son of Gloria Vanderbilt,
I love him
he
so
wrote a
much.
book. I mean, I'm in love with him, and if he was straight, I would marry him. That's all I'm gonna say. I love Anderson Cooper.
Yeah, that's fine.
But he wrote a book called The Vanderbilts, and it was all about his family history and really interesting to learn about the family home in Newport and how his one great aunt was living in it until it crumbled. Like, it was like a twice removed great aunt, but like it was
Yeah.
crumbling and the roof is leaking and she's living in it. And then he did one on the Astor family. And that's the,
Oh, and they're in the show.
yeah. And so it, because the Russells are supposed to be like the Vanderbilts, they're supposed to be the Vanderbilt money. And
New money, though, yeah.
the new money. And so it was really interesting to listen to the historical context of the Astor family and the dawning of New York, which was New Amsterdam, and their colonization of that, and why they went to Newport, and why things are called like why the village, Greenwich Village, is called the Village. And that, where Times Square is, was where sheep used to graze. And
Interesting.
yeah,
All right, I'll read Anderson's book.
the audiobook is
I've read
phenomenal.
other things by
He
him, but not those.
narrates both books.
I didn't know he was writing books.
He's
I've been doing
written
my
for
own thing.
years different
Yeah.
stuff.
I love him. I love him.
I just like to listen to him giggle. Yeah.
I watched the clips of them from him and Andy
To
Cohen
Cohen.
from
Oh,
New
my.
Year's Eve. They're both obsessed with Heated Rivalry too. Lainey, you have something
I
in common
mean,
with both of them.
everyone is obsessed and rightfully so, but we'll save that discussion for another episode.
Well, that's next week. That's what we're doing next week, is we're
Cannot wait.
talking about Heated Rivalry. And actually, I'm bringing a special guest along with us. He actually has his debut romance novel is coming out this summer, but he's a former
Yay!
professional hockey player. He played in the
Whoa!
European leagues, but he played in college and then went and played in Europe, and or vice versa. I don't know. But yeah, he's going to join me and Jenny and Lindsay as
Oh my
we.
gosh, that's a great score. Cannot wait. I
Yeah.
would stay up. Well, I'm not going to promise that. This is rough for me.
You're gonna
Oh,
be on the West Coast next week.
that's true. I will.
So
I forgot.
it
Thank you
won't be
for
late for
reminding me.
you. It'll be like
No, it'll
super
be.
reminding me. You only have to pack like three young humans and Mr. Laney.
That's, listen. I don't even have cell phone today. The Verizon outage has got me. I'm still in SOS.
Oh my
So
gosh. I'd be so lost.
I have to finish the draft of my next book is what's got to happen. And then when I do that, I can focus on our trip.
Tell us what book. Well, you have a book coming out this month.
I do. January 22nd, Playing with Fire comes out, which is another one of my hockey romances with Tucker Stagg and Sloane, who is the ex-wife of Tucker's teammate.
I love those stag boys.
Those stag men,
They're chaotic and delightful.
Yeah, but they're the ones, they fall first and they fall hard.
They do.
Yes.
But
Yeah.
then they're
And then they're
dumbasses.
Yeah. Yeah, I just got the audio files from the engineer like literally yesterday. And so I was having to like deal with the audio while also trying to finish this other. Everything's due on Friday.
You've got
It's
plenty
chaos
of time. You've got I mean, I told Mike today, he was like, we got 2 inches of snow today. We're supposed to get another 1 to 3 overnight. And both of you are like, crap.
No, because it's
I forgot
supposed
about
like
snow.
no, but did you hear them talking about how we might be icy tomorrow because it's dropping and we got all that rain today?
If these children do not go to school tomorrow, I will not be able to continue watching Heated Rivalry for the 45th time, and that will make me upset.
So I, well, Michael had said to me, he goes, and we're supposed to have more snow Friday night to Saturday. And he said, oh, we should go to Costco on Saturday. And this was earlier this week before we knew about the snow. And then I had to tell him today, I said, I'm sorry, I have to work this weekend. We can't go to Costco. You'll have to wait till Monday when he's off.
Oh
Yeah,
man. Well, and
not
it's
this
supposed to
weekend.
get like bitter cold this weekend
Well,
too.
As long as
yes.
the flights take off. This just talking about my Stag Brothers brought me back again to your question because I think it's such a good question. Like, could the Gilded Age be romance novels? I think what really works for me in romance, I love a big family where everybody gets a book. I love that. And that is what's happening with Bridgerton. And they've created these families upstairs and downstairs in Gilded Age, and I would love to see each of them get a love story.
Yeah.
And they've created such a range of people, you know, like we could have some silver fox love
Well,
happening
and you
and
have some characters that have some history that we don't know yet.
yeah.
We're given little breadcrumbs, and I want more, and I want to spend more time down here. But that was the same thing that caught me up in Downton Abbey when I fell for Downton Abbey back when it premiered, was they would give us all these little breadcrumbs, and then you were like, but wait, can we go back? Because I really just need one whole episode about that. And then when you learn that the butler and the housekeeper are married in real life,
Oh, wait, I didn't know that.
yes, the
Yeah.
actor and the actress that play the butler and
Oh,
they're married in real life.
that is wonderful.
And I
No wonder they had
believe
such chemistry.
their daughter is in Call of the Midwives. Call the Midwives.
Oh, I do love that show. And that is also becoming quite the romance. Like the most recent one I've watched, there was some unexpected yearning.
I love call my girl child is obsessed with Call the Midwives. Obsessed. Like,
It's why we support vaccines.
it is. It is absolutely why we support vaccines. Okay, so that's our tea party for today, all about historical romance TV. Whether you're here for Bridgerton Grand Gestures, Outlander Emotional Gut Punches, or Downton Abbey's Restrained Yearning, we didn't really get to Downton Abbey, did we? The Gilded Age deliciously slow burn. One thing is clear, historical romance TV gives us the same addictive energy we crave in romance books. We would love to know your favorite characters, who you've shipped, and your hot takes. So make sure you email us or tag us on social media or start a discussion in Discord. Make sure you are back here Sunday night live, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I don't remember what we're talking about, but I'm sure it'll be delightful.
I don't have a clue what we're talking about, but we
When?
probably should.
Probably. I don't think it's a topic we had to prepare for. I feel like it's a generalized discussion. Anyway, Wednesday night we are chatting. Next Wednesday night we'll be back here, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we are talking all about Heated Rivalry with a special guest host. So, super excited to introduce you guys to him.
I do want the people all the people to weigh in on whether they like the smell of bergamot
Yeah.
in their body wash,
Tell
and
us. Oh, Jenny says we're talking about romance or reader burnout, not just romance burnout, reader burnout.
Oh, that is a good
We're
topic.
going to
That is
tackle
great.
burnout.
Thank you,
So,
Jenny, for paying
thank you
attention.
for paying attention to the emails I sent. Anyway, Lainey, thank you for staying up past your bedtime.
Oh
Thank you
my
for
gosh.
being your bringing your smells and your tea. We appreciate you so much.
And my dress. I'm wearing a
And
dress to
you
the
wore in a
tea party
dress.
dress.
You were dressed at the tea party. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for hanging out with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. You guys are the best.
Of course. Until next time, everyone.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.